10 o'clock exactly. This is Epicenter on KWMR West Marin Community Radio. Epicenter is rebroadcast Monday through Thursday at 5 p.m. featuring a wide array of community and public affairs. Today I'm engineering for your host, Supervisor Dennis Rodoni. Hello, Dennis.
Good morning, Amanda. How are you?
I'm doing well. I figured I would mute myself and get your guest on the phone while you're doing your weekly update.
Sounds good. So I'm going to do my Tuesday to Tuesday weekly COVID update. This week, Marin confirmed cases reached 10,682. That's an increase of 242 over the last week, which is a good sign. You might remember 2 weeks ago, it was at 338, last week, 273. And so we're at 242 this week, new cases, which is really good sign that we are flattening the curve. The number of cases are being reduced, and which is good news. And Marin deaths in Marin has reached 160. That's an additional 7 in the last week, about a 5% increase. And this is an increase over the week before by a couple. But again, there's a little bit of a lag time with the number of cases and the hospitalizations and subsequent deaths. So we're seeing that the death count has jumped up just a little bit this week. Tests completed, we've bounced back to additional 22,000 tests this week, and now we're up to 344,889. So that's good news because that helps us with the tier adjustments, because based on the number of tests that you do, they adjust your positive, your caseload based on the more tests you do, the more adjustment they do, which allows you to shift to a new tier. We've also been tracking that 14-day total of new cases. We're down to 388 this week, which is 71 below the week before, or about a 15% decline. Again, that's telling us that we're flattening this curve and we're getting there pretty quickly. Marin hospitalizations reached 307 this last week. That was an increase of 7, but people currently hospitalized is only 17, with 5 in ICU. California cases reached 3.5 million this last week. That's an increase of 70,000, again, statewide. They've gone 2 weeks ago from 120,000 cases to 80,000 cases, and now they're down to 70,000 cases, which is good news. Again, about 2%, which sort of reflects the same increase or decrease in Marin, I should say. Confirmed California deaths are up again about 6%, 2,830. That's similar to last week, but down from 3,755 2 weeks ago. Skilled nursing facilities and residential care facilities had an increase of 8 cases over the last week to 711, and an additional few deaths there. They're now up to 124 deaths, or 81% of the total. West Marin this week has 164 total cases, 3 of which are new cases, 6 are still active, and Point Reyes Station has the largest number, that's 47 positive cases, Woodacre 21, Inverness 15, Nacasho 20, Stinson Beach 18, and Bolinas 17. Those have been pretty constant numbers. I think this week the 3 cases were in actually in Nacasho. Total vaccinations given in Marin, we're now reaching 60,000. We've actually gone over 59,075 total vaccinations in Marin. 43,143 of those have been first dose. That's 16.5% of the population. 16,138 have received their second dose. That's 6.2% of the population. Both those numbers increased about 7,000 in the last week, taking us to a total increase for the week of 14,000 vaccines that were given. So good signs on all fronts. The COVID is flattening, the curve is flattening, and we're seeing that result. And also our number of vaccines are increasing, and we're happy with the performance given the supply issues that we've been facing. I think you're going to hear about a potential drive-through vaccination site coming up, might be announced next week, so stay tuned. An opportunity to actually not even have to get out of your car to drive through to get your vaccine. So now I want to introduce Bruce Goines, Bruce, are you on there online?
Yes. Hi, Dennis. Bruce here is here.
Bruce, nice to hear from you. Bruce is president of the Marin Wildfire Prevention Authority. This is a new authority that was passed last March, a new JPA in Marin. And I want to have Bruce come on the show today to, one, introduce himself and tell us how he ended up as president and a leader on the MWPA. So, Bruce, would you just introduce yourself, please?
Hi, Bruce Goins. I live here in Novato in the WUI, my wife and I, Linda. I'm a retired forester, licensed forester here in California. I worked for 40 years for United States Forest Service and Public Service. And much of the work that I did was really related to the work that the Marin Wildfire Prevention Authority is chartered to do. My first 20 years, I was a wildland firefighter and fought a lot of big fires and a forester. The second 20 years, I was responsible for managing statewide programs relating to forest health and community wildfire protection planning and getting communities involved in reducing the risks around them. How did I end up as president? When Measure C surfaced and I came to know what it proposed to accomplish, my wife and family basically said that, you know, this is time for me to step up and apply some of the skills and experience that I have to help lead the effort. So I put my hat in the ring, and the board unanimously voted me as president. So here I am, deeply engaged.
It was a very, very good choice, given the experience that you bring to that board. I think it's not often a governing board has someone who's a board member who has the experience that you definitely have. Stepping back sort of a step, Bruce, though, tell me about how you ended up on the Novato Fire District Board and why you joined that board.
Okay, it's an interesting story, actually. I had no intentions. I was retired. I was enjoying hiking and biking and all my hobbies. And the board found me. It was a Novato fire chief, Bill Tyler, who found me. I came to know Bill through Rotary and community service work that I was doing. And he and I often discussed, you know, work around forest health and my background and interest in wildfire prevention and risk reduction. And, you know, Novato's in the WUI, and a vacancy came up on the board, and Bill called me. I was up in Bend helping my daughter, who lives in the WUI, do some work around her home. And Bill called me and asked if I would consider running for office, and I've never intended to run for office. But, you know, it was just timing. So I consulted my wife and my daughters, and they said to me, Bruce, Dad, you know, this is you. This is your opportunity to serve. I mean, I'd actually, that day that Bill called, I had spent time talking to my daughter and son-in-law about house out fuel hazard reduction. They live in a pine forest, and lo and behold, Bill called me and asked if I wanted to be a participant. So, yeah, as far as I joined the board position, I'm just one of five board members. The other board members have expertise in, you know, equipment and manpower and all the stuff that our fire departments do, municipal fire departments. But I'm the WUI guy. I'm the hazard mitigation guy. So I have kind of a special set of skills and expertise and interests that I bring to the board. So it's just fortuitous timing. It's been really great.
It's always nice when they look for you and sort you out to join a board. You always feel a little better when you have people that are on the board looking for people with skills like you have. So I know that they probably really appreciated having you join the board. So jumping back to the JPA, Bruce, you know, why is it so important to you, and why is it, do you think, it's so important to Marin County?
Important to me, important to Marin. Here's the bottom line. I live in the WUI. My home, my neighborhood is vulnerable to catastrophic fire. And just frankly, you know, Marin County is exceedingly vulnerable to catastrophic fire. I think we've all become aware that, you know, these devastating fires have happened recently, devastating in Paradise and Berry Creek, Coffee Park. You know, the facts are, the data is that, you know, those kinds of fires could occur here in Marin County. And, you know, and it's also known, you know, contemporary fire sciences, that we know that there are things that we can do to reduce the chances of us, you know, not being the next one. So this JPA came along, all the insight, all the hard work, all the people that stood this up, and I had nothing to do with it. But, you know, they built out a roadmap and a framework for Marin to take action and to make us more safe. And, you know, I think, you know, fundamentally, you know, the JPA was one of, I think, three or four tax measures on the ballot. This is the only tax measure that passed, and 70% of the Marin residents said yes. You know, they're reaching in their pockets, they're putting money on the table, and they're investing in their safety. So, you know, residents said, yeah, problems here. Residents said, yes, we have a framework. The time is now. And so the thing for me is that I'm retired. I worked for, you know, 40-plus years. So I'm retired, I'm interested, and I'm ready to go. And I'm just really ready to get this hard work done. And I think we're making great progress.
So as someone who's worked in forestry for, like you say, over 40 years, I think you sort of understand and realize what it takes to manage our forest, to manage our properties, to be resilient. And is that sort of why you're driven to the Marin Wildfire Protection and Prevention Authority also?
Yeah, Dennis, great question. And the answer is yes. I mean, the work that I was doing, working for the regional forester, and I worked a quarter of my time was for the chief of the Forest Service my last 10 years or so, was directly applicable to the charter that we have within the Marin Wildfire Prevention Authority. My experience was, you know, building teams of resource managers from local forests. There were 19 forests in California, and these teams were put together to address complicated forest management issues. And you know, the intent was to encourage communities to get involved and to plan and to take action, get work done. So I led teams that were working on related issues: forest health, community health, worked with watershed management, landscape management, worked with East Bay Municipal Utility District, worked with PG&E. I worked with the California Energy Commission. I worked on renewable energy biomass so that when we did the fuel management, the biomass could go someplace positively and you know, generate a little bit of revenue. So, you know, I was deeply involved in all this stuff. And I literally retired in 2014, and I left, and I didn't look back. And then this opportunity came. And so it's just helped me work with the board, work with operations, work with the technical people, work with the people doing modeling, work with the people doing the community wildfire protection planning here for the county. All of this stuff is stuff that I was involved with. Monte Carlo simulation. You know, roll the dice every day. Try this scenario and what's going to happen. Try this scenario, what's going to happen. So, yeah, this is kind of my bread and butter. So I guess it's time to continue and hopefully get some work done.
And I think you, as a retired forester, and you just described the broad parameters of actually doing forestry management. I mean, you talked about all the before activities, the fire activities, the after activities. And how has that helped you, you know, work with the new JPA and be a board member on the JPA? And I'm sure that the U.S. Forest Service has a little politics involved in it, too. So I think you've probably been able to learn from those experiences over the years. But how has your experience sort of transitioned now to the president of the JPA?
Well, Dennis, my experience is that if you bring people together that share a common problem and have it to solve and have common interests, the challenge is just then to stand them up, you know, and make a compelling case for what it is that needs to be done, and then basically everybody puts their shoulders into it and gets it done. They start with strategic planning, you know, what's our vision, you know, what is our mission, and then specifically developing, you know, goals and objectives. This is a team. We have 17 members of the board, all who are very intelligent and engaged and very diverse and broad interests. So the deal is bring them together. And so we have that. We have a board and we have bylaws. you know, we have the operations teams, 17 fire agencies, you know, community service districts, towns, whoever have fire responsibility, their ops folks and fire folks are organized in the operations team. You know, bringing advisory people in to advise, you know, and build this out, just exactly what it is that needs to be done, and then dealing with the finances and the, you know, administrative stuff, and working with the citizens oversight folks. But, you know, most importantly, you know, then everybody basically spending time to develop a strategic plan, what it is that needs to be done, committing, you know, to a common vision. The experience has helped me do this, but I just want to say that my evaluation of this JPA, now 10 months, it's been just 10 months after it's been formed, you know, the parts are in place, the process is in place, money is moving to priority projects, and I think that this group has just done an amazing job and a strong start, and I'm really honored to be serving as president of the board.
Actually, you may have started to answer my next question, which was the JPA MWPA has gotten up and started very quickly. I mean, we only voted on this in March of 2019.
Yeah.
And so what's your evaluation of the JPA now, 10 or 11 months after the election that it was actually formed in?
Simple answer, I'm astounded at the amount of work that's been done. The level of interest and competency and precision and accuracy, people working together. I'm simply astounded. You know that we've put all of the parts in place, and that we are moving resources to critical projects. I'm astounded, Dennis. I think no more words for that.
No, I think, you know, from my perspective, it's been a remarkable startup, very smooth startup. And I think it's because, quite honestly, all the groups, all the committees, all the board, the new executive director, everyone's just pushing very hard in the same direction, trying to achieve some of the goals of the ballot measure, trying to achieve the goals that the voters entrusted in us. So I think that you know, we're seeing the results of a lot of people working very hard, and I'd hate to even start listing the people that were involved in the election, getting the ballot done, getting it passed, and they're ones that are still working now, continuing to work, including members of the public that are totally engaged and totally engaged in what we're doing and taking part in all our committee meetings. So it's really, really is an astounding effort. And, you know, it's really setting the bar very high for us in the future. But I think with your leadership and the leadership of the other committees and other groups, we're really in a good position to make a difference. So talking a little bit longer term, what's your vision for the JPA for the next 5 years, for the next 10 years? Where do you see us going? Where do we need to go from your past, your forestry background, and can we get there?
Yeah, that's a great question. My vision, I think we have some you know, short-term must-dos and some intermediate must-dos, and then some long-term must-dos. You know, in the short term here, in the next few years, and this is really the authority's vision from my perspective, because everyone got together several weeks ago on a virtual strategic planning and talked, and everyone, you know, shared kind of what it is that they were thinking. But, you know, from my perspective, Dennis, we're going to have to take this in steps, and we have to be strategic. And I think here in the first 5 years, I believe it's critical that that residents, all the citizenry, they are informed, and they're aware of the homes, the issues that they have, and the problems that they can fix right around their homes in their backyard. So first of all, that residents are informed and aware, and you know where they live, what's on their roof, what their screens look like, you know what they need to do, and that they work towards achieving. A house out, you know, do your house first, and then you do some vegetation around your place. As and probably more importantly, that every resident is registered to receive notifications in case we have an emergency, and that they have a go bag in place, and that they understand what to do when, and they get out of Dodge if they get a notification. The other thing that I think is critical here in the short term is that we, the authority, and we're doing this, we are evaluating our evacuation routes. We're investing in identifying the hazardous conditions along our evacuation routes, and we've identified the issues that need to be resolved that must be resolved to make sure for a smooth evacuation. So two things: residents are prepared and ready to go, and that we've identified, evaluated, and we're on the task of addressing the issues around our evacuation routes. For the next 10 years, I would like to see homes mostly hardened and residents with defensible space and their go bags and all. But I'd like us to be at essentially maintenance level. That I've done my work here in the first 5 years, and in the next 5 years, I'm going to need to go out there and do some more trimming, do some more thinning, making sure that I have a healthy and diverse landscape. So maintenance level, that we can get our critical assets protected, largely protected, and we're in a maintenance level. Also, that we're then addressing some of the pinch points in evacuation routes. We have we're addressing vegetation management issues where residents could be entrapped and endangered, that we're dealing with some of the broader vegetation issues along the landscape. So short term, in the long term, it's going to take decades, but short-term residents evacuation routes, in 10 years, we're at a maintenance level and we're addressing landscape-level issues. We have so much work to do, Dennis, but we have to be strategic.
Yeah, and I think that going out, when we get out 7, 8, 9 years, that'll be the test for us, when we probably will have to renew this JPA, renew this tax measure. And that'll probably be the test for the JPA to see how well we've done, whether the community will support us again for an additional 10 years or whatever we decide, because we won't be done. I don't think we'll be finished in 10 years. Certainly at 5 years, we're just kicking it off and getting started. And as you mentioned, there's always maintenance to do. And So as we look out 10 years, 15 years, this work's got to continue. So I think that, but you gave a great summary of really what we're looking at over the next few years, for sure.
And so something to think about, Dennis, is our county just updated its community wildfire protection plan, the countywide plan, and this is a state of the art analysis of hazards, risks, and potential consequences, and it is a roadmap it enumerates the magnitude of the work that we have to do, and specifies a lot of the project work that needs to be done. But in 5 years we're going to we'll address critical issues, but reassessing our risks in 5 and 7 years, I believe that we're going to find out that we're just stepping into addressing these issues. We've maybe done 2 out of 10 things that we need to do. This is going to be a multi-decadal engagement, and I think it's most important that we demonstrate responsibility, we demonstrate getting things done, we demonstrate strategic work, but we can also communicate the magnitude of the work that's out there for us to get done. Marin is a tinderbox, and it needs a lot of work.
Thank you. So what roles do our community members have in this JPA and its programs, other than being residents and needing to do their house out work? What have the community members been engaged in, and how have they been active in this JPA?
I consider residents and community members as the backbone of the JPA. Homes are where the work starts, and community organization is where the problems get identified and solved. The JPA has a plan. We have on staff and are hiring wildfire mitigation specialists whose job is to go knock on doors, visit every home, and provide residents with an assessment of their home, of their property, and write a prescription for the work that the critical work that they need to do to make themselves safe. And, you know, we've talked about house out and, you know, creating defensible space. We've already mentioned that several times, but it is community members are the backbone, and this is where the work gets done. All the JPA is a structure. It's a structure for, you know, residents to, you know, we pay our taxes. You know, the funds go to the authority. You know, the authority is a mechanism to reinvest in the critical work that needs to be done. But it is the community members that have to get this work done. I'm a big advocate of communities becoming organized and firewise. You know, we have an astounding organization here in Marin that is setting the stage for information and education and in supporting organized communities, even those that aren't organized, just any individual that wants to participate. But so individual action and communities getting organized and working together, identifying problems and working to get them solved, that's where it's going to happen. The JPA is just a mechanism through which all this stuff can get done.
So as we roll out the work plan for this next budget year, it involves spending about $19 million, which is a challenging effort. And a lot of the funding is pretty specific. So is it possible for us to spend $19 million and get this work done in a year?
Year by year by year, Dennis. $19 million sounds like a lot of money. But if you look at the breadth and the depth of the work that needs to be done, it's my position that $19 million is just a down payment, and that in addition to that $19 million, one of our efforts is to use this money to leverage other investments from FEMA and from California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection, and from the California Air Resources Board, all who have, and Governor Newsom, is signed an initiative, you know, to increase pace and scale, increase restoration work, you know, up to 100, basically a million acres a year. We need to dig into that stuff, and we need to use our resources to leverage investment. $19 million a year it sounds like a lot, but we've got 17 communities, all with extensive, you know, internal and peripheral issues. It's a down payment. So 19 a year, 10 years, $200 million. We have not assessed, and this has been a question I've asked of fire folks. So what's the bill? This county Commonwealth for protection plan. What's this going to cost? And that answer has not come down. But, you know, we have evacuation routes that need to be addressed. We have infrastructure issues. We have so much that needs to be done. I'm just again characterized 19 as a down payment, and we need to leverage more. But one of my concerns, frankly, is that in many instances we're dealing with very small fire departments, you know, limited staff capacity, you know, and these are people that ride, you know, paramedics and ambulance and fire protection, and now they have to do, you know, major fire prevention work. And so I think we have some capacity issues throughout the county in places that the authority's job is to identify where these areas are limited in capacity to plan and implement, and we bring the assistance that we need in staffing and administrative support to make sure that they have all the capacity that they need to get the job done while they take care of their core business. That's a long answer, Dennis. But
no, that's okay. That was great, and you covered some of my future questions. I hope to get you back, Bruce, to ask you some more questions at some point, because it was really, really valuable hearing from you. And wonderful. We've got to wrap this up, so thank you so much. Thanks, Amanda. Thanks, Bruce.
Great show, you guys.
Week.
That was really awesome. Thank you both.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Good luck, everybody. Get to work.
Epicenter is a series dedicated to community and public affairs in West Marin. If you have ideas for topics, email programming@kwmr.org. Epicenter is rebroadcast at 5 p.m. every Monday through Thursday, and you can stream the audio archives of Epicenter shows on our homepage, kwmr.org. Thanks for listening.